Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Lee Sinclair 4-Grain Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This 4-year-aged, double-pot distilled, non-chill-filtered bourbon has creamy, round, and lifting notes with caramel and vanilla, followed by apple, mint, graham cracker, and ginger, as well as cardamom. The finish is slightly French walnut, resolving the sweet, fruity, almost ground cherry and white pepper. Our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick. Respect the grain. Please enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the art.
All right, welcome back to another awesome podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. It is Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time here in North Central Ohio, and you are where, Super Nash?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, sitting on the balcony beachside, listening to the oceans in my background.
There you go. And
cheers, everybody.
It is May 2nd. May 2nd. And we're doing our annual Derby podcast. Us here at, what is going on? Let's make sure everything's working there. Yeah, we're recording. So,
sharing live to the Facebook groups.
Yeah, and you're getting, everybody on YouTube, you're just getting a big giant hand from a working man with lots of cuts and calluses. Look at that, man. Those are some strong hands. I like when he shares to the groups how he cocks his head, too. It's kind of like, you know.
I can't get this to my Facebook to flip because I don't want to turn the phone.
Yeah, I know. It's some of the things we got to do sometimes to be able to do this. What was that?
It was my little bit of info on the Kentucky Derby. Just blew up my little stand over here.
What's that?
From the ocean waves.
All of a sudden, the lights came on in the back. I could see the beach and the whatever. Is there a naked lady behind you?
There is. I think the pool lights come on because I got a pool right behind me.
Yeah. John saying that we're reading your palms. All right, everybody. We're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. I'm Tiny. This is Super Nash. We're here. Just remember www.scotchybourbonboys.com for all things Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And then also make sure you check us out on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. And then also, we are on all the major podcast formats, which is Apple, iHeart, Spotify, Deezer, Cheezer. It doesn't matter if you listen, we're on it. Keep checking us out. Keep supporting us. Our YouTube channel has been going crazy. You can watch us live. All of our events, we just keep posting, and we appreciate it. Plus, we do a lot of the new short feeds, which we call Whiskey Thieving 101, everybody. And so that's kind of cool. So there's so much going on right now with us, and I just want to run over a little bit. One, we've got Christy Maddie, and we've got her bourbon raffle for Open Bees to help children with learning disabilities who the system just doesn't work with. They basically go in and allow them to afford the services they need for their children to succeed in the school systems. And what she has done and the lives she has changed and the families that she has helped has been amazing. And she does this with this amazing bourbon raffle. The tickets.
Talk about amazing. You are right.
I mean, I was
75 bottles, everything from Pappy to Buffalo Trace Antique Collection. I mean, hard to find stuff that, I mean, normal everyday bourbon hunters cannot get themselves. And you've got a legitimate chance because she's only selling 2,000 tickets.
Right. So and it's open-bees.com. And if you just type that in, it'll take you there for the second annual bourbon raffle. She works hard. You can see on my channel, if you scroll down a little bit, you can see the video that we produced with the testimonials of people who she's touched their world and what she's doing. And this bourbon raffle, 100% legit backed from the open-bees.com. Open Bees is a legitimate fundraising. They have fundraiser and they are a nonprofit organization. And this fundraiser is, they did this last year and it raised so much money. And we need you guys again to go purchase your tickets. It's like a ticket is like a donation to the foundation and the nonprofit and for what she's doing for the money. And you're going to get, you got a shot at a fantastic bottle of bourbon. I mean, the collection that she had there, the Rabbit Hole Founders collection she had, the stags she has, like everything. I got to be in front of it, and you could see in that video those bottles, and it's amazing what, you know, those Pappy 23s to have all that bourbon in one place and to see it was amazing.
Every ticket you buy has a potential to win one of those bottles. Not just, you buy all these tickets, and then if you do win, then all your other tickets are thrown out. Every ticket you purchase gets, until the end is drawn, to all the bottles are given out, has the potential to win a bottle. So if all five of your tickets get drawn, if you purchase that many, then you win five bottles from that collection.
Yeah, and you can't punish people who are donating so much. They have if you're going to donate that kind, you want a shot at those bottles and you want a shot at multiple bottles, you got to buy multiple tickets because the donation is the most important thing. Buying the ticket, it's like, and it's not, the tickets aren't that expensive for a bourbon raffle. That's for sure. And,
exactly what I said is that I purchased my tickets and I donated my money.
Right.
Whether I win a bottle or not, I know that I've donated to a good cause.
And yes, and it's a great cause. So, that's, again, open-bees.com. Christy does a fantastic job with this. You have nothing to worry about. Your money's going to go to help families and children. And then if you win, you're going to get your bourbon. So that's just, and it's fair. There's no anything. These people are
all done live.
Man, the Mannies are down home, awesome people.
He's got the rules stated there. If you're not able to pick up the bottle in person, in which there's several places to pick up the bottles after the drawing's over, that your bottle can be shipped, but it's got to be set up. They have independent bottle shippers, which is like basic liquor stores that can ship bottles that they've already set up and been approved through. So, like I said, just take a look at the rules and go purchase your tickets and help this good cause out.
It's a great cause, and I stand by it, and I'm so glad that I got to meet Tom and Christy. Fantastic, fantastic people. They are doing the work that, you know, and if without Christy, this wouldn't exist. So I will talk about it again until we could get all those tickets sold, because that's what we need to do. All right. So then also, everybody, the Kentucky Bourbon Festival is coming up in September. Also, our annual bus tour, which I am about to book because I almost have a count of how many people want to do this. So once I got the count, I know how many buses I need. Nash, Super Nash, talk about what you're already looking at on bringing along. I mean, I know you've been working on it, and, you know, I've been saving a couple special bottles, but, you know, that's pretty cool.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
This year, I think we're going to bring along a 1968 J.W. Dant milk bottle from Collector's Bottle. And we're going to open that up. That's probably going to be the showpiece.
Last year, how many showpiece did you have? I mean, there was Old Fitz. You had the Old Fitz.
Last year, I had
the Weller.
Old Fitz counter. Then we had the Booker's bourbon, the old Booker's bourbon bottle that I opened up.
Which is right behind me.
Yeah, right behind you. Then we had a couple more.
Well, I opened up my
Miller Foolproof, didn't you?
No, yeah, but I also opened up that special Lee that from the Colonel Lee, was it? Colonel Lee.
B.W. Sinclair.
No, the Colonel Lee. No, the Colonel Lee, which was the small bottle of that Brad Bonds had,
that little half pint.
Which we learned that Ross, you know, was working for Barton's, and that was originally produced at the Barton's 1792 distillery. Yeah, that was kind of cool. So the bus tour is coming up. If you want to know about that, ask me about the bus tour. You can ask once again Jeffrey Mueller, Facebook messenger.
Straight from the barrel.
Yeah. So we had some really, really good. That's part of this ticketed thing. Not only do you get three distilleries, you get lunch, but you get special pours, and the people that come bring their own stuff too. This is not a normal.
But, I mean, the people that come on the bus, because this is like their second and third year on the tour, because they enjoy it, and they've got to where they're bringing their own special bottles to share with everybody, too.
So, yeah. So now, but now, for right after the bus tour starts Kentucky Bourbon Festival, the general three-day passes are still available. You want to go there. The three-day passes, we've stressed the last couple podcasts, they are awesome in itself. I mean, you are talking over 60 distilleries tastings. You have access to all the different areas. You can hear all the different interviews. You can watch the Bourbon 30 interviews. You know, you've got access to all the different distilleries and what they're releasing. It just gets better. I'm just going to say, if you're a collector and you like to, you know, if you are a collector and you want to 100% get bottles, then this is what to do, what you want to do. This is what the distilleries every year are getting it further and further. And also the festival makes it so that more and more stuff can be purchased. There's not only can you purchase from the distilleries, but the bottle shop will be there this year to purchase from the NDPs. So they got it covered. The bourbon's going to be there this year. You just have to be there. Last year, we're talking the Little Book, Lineage, and Booker's, and Baker's 13. I mean, we are talking Jim Beam blew out everything for that. That was amazing. So you want to check that out, 100% of Kentucky Bourbon Festival this year. It's going to be off the charts. Now, we've covered that. Covering upcoming podcast. I mean, this has been a loaded first couple minutes. Dixon Deadman next Tuesday. He is going to be talking about his brand 2XO. We've got the gem of Kentucky, or the gym of Kentucky, depending on who's saying it. You just crack me up, man. You crack me up. That is going to be an exciting podcast, having Dixon Deadman on. We thought about doing a little bit of Kentucky Owl, but it's the Kentucky Derby weekend, and that's where we're at right now. And, you know, we've got a lot of information on the Kentucky Derby. I'm going to try and wait before we get into that. And then also, Alan, it's good to see you or see that you're in the group and how are things going at the old homestead, because that's been some exciting news. Got to talk to Jolie a little bit tonight. She finally had a space open and gave us the lowdown on everything. But, you know, as Alan will attest to, starting up a brand new distillery is not an easy thing. It's funny because we've been along the, you know, we've been for the ride from a couple distilleries starting up, wouldn't you say, Super Nash? I mean, we were right there with all along with Logstill and their building. I mean, I remember they had just... that distillery hadn't even started, the main building for the still. We've been going all along the way with Luca Mariano from the time when they put up their tent and we did the barrel pick, you know, and then also I think Middle West Spirits up here, Ryan Lane, he basically has been, starting up a huge distillery. And then, you know, I've been talking to Denny Potter, and he's talking to him. So it's almost like, you know, when you're firsthand with the people, and then also Alan and what he's doing, what he's doing there, we hear about it. A lot of times we come in and we get to see it, you know what I mean? And it's kind of a cool thing, you know. It's not easy. That's one thing I know. Once you get everything running and all the hoses and the fittings and the pressure valves, that's a whole different story in itself to get those, you know, get those stills up and running and everything and all the direction. Usually when people are building a newer distillery, they've got a lot of high, you know, the valves and the hoses all going in the right direction so that you can fill, ferment, you know, fill the stills. And then, you know, it is a whole network of, paths for the distillate to go through to get all the way to filling it up and into the barrel. And so that is not an easy thing. Sometimes it goes smoother than others, but I mean, I know that Middle West was supposed to be up in the spring, and in the fall he was just starting to, you know, get his feet on the ground. There was a lot of when you're producing that amount of whiskey, there was a lot of stuff that could go wrong, and it does. But anyways, all right, so we got Dixon Deadman coming on, and then 2 weeks from now, I think... I have never believed in a project or a group of people more than this. It's something special. I get that, Alan. There's no doubt you're going to the right place where, you know, and it's not like, excuse me, it's not like there's not a track record, right? You got a track record. Jolie's been there for a little bit, and I feel that when someone builds a distillery with you in mind, that's something special. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
That, yeah. But, you know, you can't say that you didn't work your ass off to get there, that somebody wanted to do that for you. It's not just because of your good looks, that's for sure. I know there's a lot of shit that happens that's not because of my good looks, that's for sure. All right, anyways.
That's
so,
for sure.
So let's talk, Nash.
We won't go there.
So before we got into bourbon, right? The Kentucky Derby to me was very, what would you say? It wasn't, I would watch it, whatever, but I really didn't get into it. But
yeah.
How about you?
The same way. I would watch it, but I didn't really... kind of know all the rules, what was going on. I didn't know the horses or anything like that. But now is a whole different, a whole nother level of the Derby. And I guess that's because bourbon's involved. And we also have a great, great friend and a member of our group, El Presidente, Randy Frost, which he's been involved with the Kentucky Derby for many, many years. And now, like I say, he's a good friend and a member of our group. And so that just encouraged me to get more involved with it and more knowledgeable about the event.
All right. To start off, let's talk about what you did this year for Randy. I mean, it's the coolest thing. It's part of what the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, why you want to know us. And your Super Nash is so much a part of us. And he makes me proud that I know him. But he does things and generous things for people. And this is not anything less than Super Nash-ish.
Well, I just happen to have... Jim Beam decanters that were Kentucky Derby festival bottles. And one of them just happened to be, I believe, was the 95th running, the Kentucky Derby, which me and Randy looked it up, and it was the 1969 running, the year after his birthday. He was born in 68. So I sent that up there to him and gave that to him. And he will be opening in that bottle, and it's completely full. And he'll be opening that bottle, I believe he said, on Saturday the 4th. With an old boss of his that was at the Churchill Downs. And he will be giving us a review about what it tastes like and all that, and which me and you both have tasted a lot of those old Jim Beam decanters that along with my dad.
Yep.
And every one of them has been fantastic.
Yes, for sure.
So,
for sure.
Looking forward to... to this, and Randy, when he opened it up, he was just elated with it, and just told me that he just can't wait to open it up on Saturday, May 4th,
awesome.
During the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. So.
Yep. Shout out to Stacey Stearns. She's watching tonight. And then Alan said that he came up with a reason. And his reason would be like arm the Hoosiers with pellet guns so that you could bet and then he'd go and kind of thing. But I'm saying is I don't the Kentucky Derby for me, the way the crowds shake out and my income level and you know, and I wouldn't even this is not one favor that you'd want to try and call in, you know, with Randy. Randy, this is Randy's thing. It wouldn't be, you know, you just wouldn't want to say, hey, what, can I go with you or anything like that? And if I ever went, I was looking for 1 year before we were looking at going with the other people that we used that used to be here, a part of the podcast. And when we were looking at tickets, they were expensive and it was infield and you had to wear boots. And if it rained and I mean, it was just crazy. And Alan was talking about, well, then I'll go then. I don't think I'd ever go because I've got an 85-inch TV. I've got a 65-inch I could put out on my deck if it's not raining. And I'm going to basically watch the Woodford Reserve commercials, pour myself whatever I'm drinking, whether I'm going to drink along with the history of we're going to go over the history. So there's a lot to choose from of what you can be drinking if you want to participate in the history of what people have drank throughout. And but it definitely is a TV sport for me. You know, I can skip the crowds. I, when you think about the race itself, if you're going to have a good view of the whole race, you're talking your way back in the middle on the top, you know, in the booths or whatever at the top. That gives you a view of the whole race. If you're up front, you might see to watch the finish line. But if you're out front of the finish line, you know, it's that track is a mile long, right? It's a mile long race. And it is seriously, that's way far away. You know what I mean? When it starts, it's just not a way to view. But you watch it on TV, you see it every step of the way. And when it's over, they show it to you over and over and over again. If it's a photo finish, you know what I mean? So it's just definitely, for me, not the greatest live experience that I want to experience. I want to experience it, you know.
And also, I like watching some of the, you know, the close-ups of the jockeys and you know, mid-race and going in the curves. You know, some of them, I mean, they get close, they hit each other and things like that. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can happen that you will never, ever see if you're standing on the ground on the infield or if you're in those lower seats on different parts of the track. You'll never, ever see it.
So I have I have an assignment. I'll do the assignment because your phone is being used. So I'll use the other phone and I'm going to give the weather report. Let's just give a weather report right now.
What it's going to be like at race.
Which is Churchill. It's Churchill Downs, right?
Churchill Downs, yes.
Churchill. all right. I know where it is. I'm just going to type in this. Ooh, there we go. The weather forecast for. Why did are you? What just happened? I get it. I go to ads. Okay, the weather forecast for Saturday. Let's get this baby. There it is. Daily. Saturday, 79 degrees with 50% chance of rain. So we'll have to see. Let's see. Rain showers early with overcast skies late in the day. So hopefully by late in the day, overcast, you know, so it's going to be a gray, gloomy day and the track's probably going to be a little wet, right? What horse is a mudder? You know, and you know, that's what you want to know, right? So there's your forecast.
So that would be my second pick. Which is fierceness. That would be my second pick, fierceness.
Terry said it's a mile and a quarter. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate the correction.
Yeah, and I just happened to read that too, mile and a quarter.
Yeah, so we're looking at, you know, it's such a quick you know, there's this buildup to it. People go to bars. I mean, some of the bars that I eat lunch in have Kentucky Derby, you know, countdowns. Minglewood here is having a derby party. Now, I'm not into the poshness of the derby. That's one of another reasons I don't want to dress up. I appreciate them dressing up, and I appreciate that, but that's for people who love horses and horse racing. And it really is something in Kentucky. There's no doubt about it. All of our friends that are down in Kentucky have all week been going to events and different things. It was cool to see Kate this morning with the boys. You know, they were there at Churchill Downs. And then some of our friends are there. So that's kind of cool. So that's going to happen at 6, what is it, 6:37, I want to say. Isn't that the time that it starts on Saturday? It's something random like that. But I think I remember seeing that. It was 6:07 or 6:37, but I think it's 6:37. Anyways, getting ready for that. So one of the things about the history of the Derby is that it has this marriage with bourbon, right? So I have a real quick history to run over. I'm going to share. We've got the odds. We'll talk about that later, but I believe, let's see, where am I? Is that it? Story. Okay. So initially nothing was official, but the main brands that have been associated, there were three volume brands were Woodford Reserve, Maker's Mark, and Buffalo Trace. Jim Beam, Evan Williams, Henry McKinney, Four Roses Bullet, and a few others have cracked the top from time to time, but the one and two position have been a steady stream of Makers and Woodford. So those are big. They come out with those special bottles, right? But so initially, let's see, that was last year. It said beginning with the 144th running on May 5th, 2018, that's when Woodford became the Kentucky Derby's official sponsor. But they were talking about it's likely the sponsorship in bourbon history and should grow wood. Okay, as the bourbon, this person studied it. And he said after Prohibition, horse racing, baseball, and boxing were the United States top sports, and since horse racing crown jewel, the Kentucky Derby, was in the Kentucky bourbon distiller's backyard, each major brand found itself in a race to own the publicity rights to the Kentucky Derby. From the end of Prohibition to 1942, dozens of bourbon's advertisements filled the pages of the Derby programs. The leaders of the pack were Brown-Forman, Old Forester, Paul Jones, and the National Distillers. Like the horse in the race, each ad was strong, making a case for their bourbon to be the beloved spirit of the Kentucky Derby patron. Brown-Forman held true to the fact that Old Forester is a one distillery bourbon. National plugged the mixability of Old Grandad and Old Taylor, and Paul Jones Four Roses spoke of virtue in its blends. May 4th, 1935, Old Forester bottled in bond for 65 years, acknowledged by connoisseurs to be the finest of Kentucky whiskeys. Old Forester, with its famous full-bodied flavor, mellow richness, and glowing satisfaction, its production by us only and from our own famous formula treasured since 1870. The famous Old Forester plain label appears only on whiskey made by ourselves in our own distillery by our own methods. A limited quantity is now available. So then in 1938, National Distillers, 1942 was Four Roses, and then Brown and Forman to this day took let's see, down in the Kentucky Derby, they won more reasons that just spending more money, the Brown family had passion for the race in 1940. They created a special bottling for the 66th Kentucky Derby. It was only available to those in attendance, and this author's great white whale in bourbon collecting. So there you go. That's just kind of a quick history. I mean, recently, you know, Brown and Foreman pretty much won out because of their love of racing and being in that area. You know, overall, it's been was Brown and Foreman, then into Woodford Reserve. So kind of cool, right?
Yes, it is.
Let me take this share screen off. Where does that go? There it is. Stop sharing. There we go. We'll go back to full screen. So, there we go.
The next bourbon up is what? Wouldn't you say Woodford Reserve?
Yeah. Now,
this is bottle is the special edition for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. Picked this up on the way down here today.
That's awesome.
$44.95.
Well, I mean, that's one thing about now. There's a lot of special bottles, but you know, the one thing that I got to say is I've seen the Derby bottles and the painted bottles, and they're all kind of cool. But my Roxy last
this
year
was the one from the 148.
Yeah, you've got
and
that.
This was what I was bringing down here until I stopped at one of my favorite stores on the way down here, and they happen to have a case of these, like at $44.95. I was like, hey, we're doing the podcast tonight. Pick it up.
Yeah, but it's the same bourbon that's in the normal Woodford Reserve. So what I did, or what Roxy did, they don't put. It's not a special batch. You know what I mean? It's just Woodford. Now,
I'm going to beg to differ because I got some notes on that.
You can get notes, but it's. Everybody says it's they don't put special Derby juice in their special. They just it's a special bottle filled with Woodford Reserve. It's just what it is. But there are some distilleries that do special, like Wilderness Trail definitely releases their Derby batch. So does Peerless. There are distilleries throughout the area that release special batches. Now, if you prove me wrong on the Woodford Reserve, you can prove me wrong. But what I've done, or what Roxy did, was this. She bought a special glass painted by, I believe, the guy.
Oh, wow.
She's got, yes. So.
Sherry bought two of those too.
Yep.
I could have brought mine down.
Yeah, but now, I don't care what Woodford Reserve is in the bottle. No matter what Woodford Reserve is in a bottle or what I'm drinking for the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. Now, this Woodford Reserve that I'm going to be doing is the pick for the Kentucky Bourbon, the 2023 Kentucky Bourbon Festival. And I'm going to be upping my game, and I'm going to pour some from Distillers Row. So this would have been the bottle from this year, the 2023. I mean, and you could start reading, but I just got a quick, oh, come on.
Okay, and it's right here in the paperwork.
Okay.
In the lush rolling hills of Kentucky, where thoroughbreds graze and the history of bourbon whispers through the oak trees, the master distiller practices a time-honored craft. It's here in a distillery steeped in tradition that the winning sip celebrating the 150th Kentucky Derby is conceived. Morris is no ordinary craftsman. He is a guardian of flavor, a maestro steering an orchestra of sweet, spicy, and smoky notes. Each day he patrols the ground with a watchful eye, ensuring that every step of the distillation process is precise, every batch of bourbon unique. Displayed in a panel tasting room, a library of amber-filled bottles glint under the soft light. Among them, a special blend awaits, one that encapsulates the spirit of the Derby. Morris contemplates the profile, selecting those with the richest hints of vanilla, the brightest sparks of citrus, and the warmest echoes of toasted oak. It isn't just bourbon that he's crafted. It's an experience, a memory that will linger on the palate long after the glasses clank in celebration. We're not just making bourbon. We're making history, Morris often remarked. His passion is as rich as the bourbon he nurtures. With the patience of a saint and the precision of a scientist, Morris blends art and science to create the perfect sip. The water naturally filtered through the limestone shelf unique to Kentucky lends the bourbon its signature smoothness. The carefully selected grains contribute to its complexity, while the charred oak barrels impart that quintessential caramel hue. As the Derby approaches, anticipation builds. Morris knows that his creation will not just herald a winner, but become part of a timeless legacy, a tribute to the past, a toast to the future, all encapsulated within Woodford Reserve's winning sip.
Right. But that is the batch that they release for specifically for the 150th running of the Kentucky Bourbon or the Kentucky Derby.
No.
Not if what you, they send out to the...
If you listen up here, displayed in a panel tasting room, a library of Amberfield bottles, which is talking about the Derby bottles. All the Derby bottles. Each one, every year, he crafts the winning sip specifically for the Derby bottles.
Which they release.
A special blend. And also back up here, it also says about the blend.
So I want you to read the back of your bottle that you picked up on the way down here.
Produced by Woodford Reserve. Government warning. According to the Surgeon General, women should not drink alcohol. No, here we go. The side of it is talking about Wiley Caldwell's artistic style.
Right.
Morning Roses is on the side of it. That's all it's got.
I know.
There's nothing else.
Yeah, but the bottle that gets released for the 150th Derby release has a big thing, and they release it from the distillery. They put that is a distillery-only release for the Derby, but what hits the shelves with that bottle is that's what I was always told. They don't make 8 billion bottles of of the special one. That's, you know, people walk away with the special one. Now, I hope someone tells me I'm wrong, but that's what I've always been said, I've been told. So what is the tasting notes on there? Don't you have both bottles now?
Yeah.
I mean, why don't you taste each one and see if they're noticeably different?
I just got through tasting this one. This one's really good.
Wait, there's nothing left? Of course you did.
Well, I poured this before I started the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been drinking all along.
I have.
Been talking a whole bunch.
Yeah.
All right, the tasting notes for the 150th are, like on the aroma, an inviting bouquet of vanilla bean, sweet honey, a hint of fresh leather, a nod to the saddles of the competing thoroughbred. And on the palate, first sip reveals a cascade of decadent caramel and toasted oak, dancing with spices reminiscent of spring and festivity in Louisville. And on the finish, a lingering finish that stays with you, akin to the memory of champions past, with an elegant complexity and a touch of mint, in which I got that mint off the first couple of sips. I got that on the back end of the palate. It's sort of a little bit minty.
Minty.
And tipping his hat to the classic mint julep.
Mmm.
It's really good. So now I'm going to pour, like I said, I've got the 148. And we'll see.
Yeah.
There's about a half a bottle left.
Not after tonight.
Oh, yeah. Because this boy's got a long journey. I got a big job in the morning up in Little River, about an hour drive up. Then I got...
What's the weather on the ocean lap tonight?
2.5 hour drive down to Charleston.
What's your weather tonight?
Back to Columbia and then home.
Stars? Stars tonight?
Stars tonight?
Mm-hmm. So I'm excited.
Yeah, but I can see a ship way out in the distance.
What?
Well, there's stars out. Yeah, it's a clear spot.
There's sheep on the beach?
Sheep on the water.
Sheep?
There's a sheep. A sheep. A sheep on the water.
There's a sheep on the water way far away. And then it's a total gym. It's a total gym. It's a gym of a boat.
This is the gym of Kentucky right here.
I can't wait till you say that next Tuesday to him. I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask Dixon once he says.
No, I'm not. You're going to pronounce it.
Nope. Gem. Anyways. So this was good, but you know, once again, unless you're buying Woodford's,
completely different.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah, completely different. But now, see, this has been open for 2 years.
It changes everything. This has been open 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. I really like this.
I really like this glass. I'm gonna
vanilla custard.
All right. So
no leather.
Let's get on to the next level. Oh, I had a Woodford Reserve Glen, but I also have a Blanton's Glen here. And I'm going to. This is really cool. I mean, you first came up, Nash, in November of 2019, if you remember. That will be 5 years that we've known each other this fall. And you've changed my life, there's no doubt about it. But this bottle was one of the first bottles, this Blanton's Gold. Now, this bottle of Blanton's Gold. It no longer has a Blanton's Gold topper. This topper I purchased at the 2019 Kentucky Bourbon Festival. And Nash set me up a 3 7/8 full bottle of Blanton's Gold. Brought that up to the... I think you actually brought that up to the podcast, right? And you wanted to get... and then if you look behind me... I think everybody can see.
I brought that up. It was like December 12th, 2019 when I flew up there. That was part of the initiation to become part of the group, and that was my bottle that I brought up to the group.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
And then I still have it?
Yep. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So back here is the Buffalo Trace stave that last year, all of a sudden a package is being shipped to me, and I have no idea what's going on. It's coming from, all of a sudden it's like it's coming from Frankfurt and Buffalo, whatever, and it's like, and it shows up. It's this big, long, skinny thing, and he basically... got me the Buffalo Trace with the eight different toppers. But this particular topper right here, I bought this topper at my first Kentucky Bourbon Festival, which was $3.50. And I'm like, what the heck? It's like, really? Everybody, you could just buy them and then send them in and they'll put it on a stave. Now they...
That's the thing is, there's a catch. If you send those stoppers up there with the plain white cork without any alcohol stain on it, they will send them back and will not mount them.
Well, but...
They have to be used stoppers.
But you wanted to make your gold collection so you could have a stave with all the gold toppers.
I have one.
Right. And you needed the topper that you sent up to me. And I basically said, well, That's fine with me. And I took the topper I bought in 2019 and put it in the gold, into the gold, you know, and I put a little bit of bourbon on it. And it's been doing the job, and you got the gold topper, and you were able to, yeah, that gold topper is pretty, I mean, it's pretty cool.
I'll send you this gold topper back.
Well, do you, no, just keep collecting more golds and send me, just have a package in well, 6-7 years. Yeah, yeah.
Once because I've probably got just about enough golds, and I know I got about 3 bottles of gold or 4 bottles of gold in my closet, and I think I got enough empty gold stoppers. I can, with those in the closet and this one, that I can get you the gold. Stay.
That would be amazing.
You know, I don't need 10 staves. I've got
who
I've got
does, right? Yeah.
The regular.
Yeah, and what do you do with those? You only display the regular and the gold. You don't like multiple display them everywhere.
I've got three regular staves there on my shelves behind the other bottles.
Well, I barely have room for the regular one, you know, but if you got me a gold one, I would find a place for it. But at the same time, this was something, you know, kind of special. I really, this bottle means a lot to me. I think I drank Blanton's Gold before I drank Blanton's, you know, cause I was into everything, but I was, you know, at the time you were feeding us.
I don't think you had ever had Blanton's before that.
Not Blanton's Gold. Now, if I remember the, me and, Young Nose, when we were tasting this one, I remember pulling some mint.
Yep.
But, you know, that's had some time to oxidize. And one thing that I could tell you is that this has been almost 5 years, 4.5 years in that bottle. And I don't, you know, visit it a lot. And this is, I might finish this bottle for the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, but pour in this one. One thing that is in common with, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. Buffalo Trace, and which is with Blanton's, is Blanton's is 94 proof, right? And then Woodford, and then Woodford's 95.4, right? Or 90.4, 45 point. No, what? Okay, so what is it's
90.4, yeah.
What?
Woodford's 90.4.
90.4 and 94 for Blanton's. So they don't. Now, Blanton's.
Blanton's is 93.
93. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and Blanton's Gold is 103.
Ooh.
And then Blanton's straight from the barrel, this particular one is 129.6.
So just
the, what we had on the bus was like 131.4 or 131.2.
So the label on this is handwritten for this gold, and it was dumped on 114.19. So there you go. That's how you pick something up.
This one was but dumped straight from the barrel 117 2020.
Ooh.
But now this one, remember when I belonged to that the overseas auction? Look, this has got the overseas tax strip on it.
Okay,
so this one came from overseas, from the United Kingdom.
So I will have to. I definitely pick up the mint on this one. Now, the oak on this gold is insane. This has no flavors of Blanton's to me of now at all. This gold.
Matter of fact, it's got the importer sticker on it right here.
You know, you gotta get back into that.
Yeah, I definitely did.
Honestly,
just like everywhere else, I bet the bottles you know, the prices went insane unless you just get lucky. But I want to get on there and get lucky because I'm super nervous.
There's lots of ways that I'm trying to get lucky. And one way is not.
How's your wife feel about that?
I can. I just have to be good for a while. That's what I have to do to get lucky. There you go. So, anyways, but
okay. So you're on to the Blanton's Gold, right?
Now,
and the reason that we pulled out the Blanton's is we're not real big Blanton's fans because of the big hype. We strayed away from it, but it is Kentucky Derby week.
Yep.
And each one of the horses on top fashion for each letter, starting with the B, you have the horse rider. He's setting up like he's walking into the starting gate. And then for each position of the track, like going down the front stretch, you have him where he's starting to lean down. The tail is not quite straight up. You have him when they're going into the turn. A different position. You have them going down the back stretch like this one right here. Just happens to be the final end, the last letter end, because it's got the two dots, which signifies the apostrophe. He is stretched out, coming down the home stretch, tail straight out, full stride. The rider is leaned down. He is gunning for the roses right there. That's the position that horse is in. So that was the meeting that I don't know whether it was Albert Blanton that came up with that idea, but the marketing team decided to come up with that for each letter, that each one of the horses represent a different part of that track that that they were positioned in for each different letter. And it just so happens the regular Blanton's is an N with apostrophe. Okay. All right, here's one with an A, which is the third letter. As you can see, the difference in how the rider is more upwards and prone, and the legs are just now starting to stretch out as compared to the N, where that rider is laid down on his neck, And the legs are strided out, all four. So anyway, like I say, it's pretty good, pretty ingenious marketing idea that they came up with. And that's the only reason that we brought out the Blantons is because of the horses, the race horses, you know. So cheers, brother, to Blantons Gold.
Cheers.
First bottle that I brought you up and becoming part of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. What a great memorable moment. And I remember that weekend oh so well. Become the seventh member of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys and basically the fourth podcaster in the group.
Yeah. And we have to, going forward, we have a couple of people to get into the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. I think as far as the group goes, as far as official members, some people have dropped out, and I think we were up to eight. But I think actually 1, 2, 3. So it's me as far as the original members, right?
Yeah,
it's me, you, Roxy, and that's it, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Right. So we have to pull back. I think Walker should be brought in. And then also I think it would be kind of cool to bring in Jamie. CT, he is a member. Okay. And so is Whiskey. There's no doubt they're members. Sure. But we need to have a meeting. Whiskey's been talking about having he wants to sometime in June or July have a bottle share where people come up and we do it and, you know, do a bottle share.
We should go to that tradition that they actually bring a bottle, a special bottle.
Oh yeah.
You know, to open up and share with the group and, you know, and leave as a commemorative to, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
taste over the years.
It's the podcast has evolved. The group has evolved, but I really think the base of the group we should reinstall. But it's so much time and effort these days.
I agree.
You know what we're doing and all the stuff that we do. You know, it's just been fantastic. Now, I'm going to throw out the last part. We didn't, and you weren't ready, but Maker's Mark is a big part of the Derby also. And so I've got a couple bottles here. This is one bottle that Randy initially, when that night that he named you Super Nash, he brought, and he came to the house in, Bardstown, Kentucky.
Bardstown, yeah.
He brought this special bottle. And this bottle here is the bottle. It is the pick. It's a private select, and it says Oak Stave Selection by Bill Samuels Jr. And Bill signed it. So I've kept this pick. It's unopened.
If I knew that was there, I would have cracked that open years ago.
No. It's just like, and it's. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, that's who we just met when we were in Kentucky. I mean, he came down and talked to us. I mean, it was such a awesome evening, right?
Absolutely.
And
I was just, you know, like I said, when I went up there, I wasn't sure that it was actually going to happen. You know, and then when I see him walking up, and then he come up and then shook my hand right off the bat, and, you know, and right off the bat, I heard the Scotchy Bourbon Boy is down here.
It's so funny because you got CT downstairs. You left, and you left under the pretense because we were having dinner, a steak dinner with Stephen Fonte. But you guys were doing this under a veil of secrecy because we're sitting there having dinner with Stephen Fonte, Mr. Yellowstone. We knew he was up there. All of a sudden, you're going to the bathroom, and CT's just like losing his shit. He's sitting there in the booth. He's squirming. He can't handle it. He's like, Nash ain't, you know, he's like, Nash ain't going to, he's like, Nash ain't going to the bathroom. I'm like, what? He's like, Nash ain't going to the bathroom. He's making gestures because I'm in between him and he was losing his mind. It was pretty funny.
Did you see that? You know, the owner's wife when I got up, she was standing right there. And she's, what do you need? The bathroom? I was like, yes. She pointed at the back. She's like, well, there's one right back there. And I was like, well, don't you have one up front? Because I knew the stairs. Going upstairs was up front. She said, well, yeah, there's one up front near the front door. I said, that's the one I wanted to use. that's why I did that. It went up front.
I mean,
it was gone a good while.
What a night. What a night to meet Bill. And so I have this bottle. This bottle will be probably put up next to the one that Fred Noe did for Booker's. But every distillery loves the Kentucky Derby. Whether it's Jim Beam, whether it's Maker's Mark, I'm going to basically pour myself something that I believe that you, this is an OHLQ exclusive from 2022, and it's Crumble Coffee Cake.
Oh, yeah.
So in honor of the Kentucky Derby and, you know, I believe Maker's releases a special Derby bottle too, right?
Sure they do. It'll be a state release like that. The Kentucky Derby.
But I've seen that Maker's bottle with the dip and the regular standard Maker's bottle with artwork from the Kentucky Derby. I've seen that with, you know, Maker's releases those. I believe that this artist that of the glass. Where's the glass? Yes. was the specific artist that did the Maker's Mark bottle. That's okay. Yeah, and that's you know,
Wiley Cotto. The native Kentuckian is named Wiley Cotto.
Yeah, it could be. All I know is that Sherry and Rachel did a good job because now I have a Kentucky Derby glass. And I don't have to go crazy over all the different bottles.
Oh, now that I look close, this is this bottle right here. The rider and the horse is basically made up of
roses. Rose petals. Yes.
I don't know if you can see that.
You've got to see it close. Yes, I could see that right off the bat.
But they're all, the whole horse and the rider is red roses. That is so cool.
Keeneland bottle has the artwork. I'm not sure about the Derby bottle. All right. Anyways, so that was Walker chiming in. Crumble cake. Coffee crumble cake. That's so good.
Tastes like coffee crumble cake or caramel and brown sugar.
It tastes like coffee crumble cake and Booker's. So what did you think of the last batch of Booker's? The thing about that batch was when I drink Booker's, usually the sweetness of it, what happened? Okay, the sweetness of that Booker's, honestly, Nash, was
one of the sweetest.
Oh yeah, when I was drinking it, it was like confectionery sugar, and I was worried my teeth were gonna rot out of my mouth. It gave me stress. That's how sweet that Booker's is, and it's so bizarre because normally you get caramel sweetness, or you get vanilla sweetness, or you get, you know, flavors of sweetness. You know, you get the peanut flavor, like, and so you might get a little butt. It was
Booker's. It didn't have a whole lot of peanut.
Oh no, it was straight up. It was straight up powdered sugar sweetness, like no vanilla, no caramel, just sugar.
What you get on one of those elephant ears at a fair.
Well,
you get that doughiness and that.
Now, just so but just so you know, the elephant ear crown actually had the deep fried oil taste at the same time. That was insane. That was really it's like I would have thought I would give that bottle away, but honestly, that crown bottle, that is a coveted bottle. That was some good whiskey right there.
I gotta ask you, when you drank that Blanton's Gold, the 103 proof, did you pick up any of that mintiness?
Just not what I remember from the podcast.
Because this bottle, this one was, this is a bottle March 22nd, 2022. So probably been open about a year and a half, maybe. And you see how much of that. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting that spiciness, you know, that white pepper, that nutmeg. No. Just a tad bit of mint on the finish.
So, Nash, I'm going to challenge you. It is May 2nd. Tomorrow's May 3rd. Okay. I want you by the 4th of July to be in your podcasting environment that you've created. So I just gave a date on it. And I'm going to say something. Tiny's like,
that's a lot of pork.
Tiny.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We got the living room painted last weekend. So like all my surround sound speakers are like, if I would have podcasted it in the bedroom tonight, all my surround sound speakers and a bunch of other crap would have been piled in behind, because all that's out of the living room. But we got all that painted. She's just finishing up the trim, and then I got to put the wood flooring down.
I'm not worried about.
As soon as I get that down, I'm going into the bar room.
May, June, July 4th. So now, there you go. So you got May and June to get the speakers out. So just so you know, I just wanted to try and motivate you.
Plus two, I got a guy coming Friday, tomorrow, which I'm not going to be there, but I'm going to call him and I'm going to tell him, because I'll be able to write it home. But I've got to have my house, done. Final wrap.
Right. And part of your house be.
I gotta get that done by the end of May. So.
Okay, but part of having.
I'll be in there.
Part of having your house done.
I will be behind.
You got.
Yeah,
because part of having your house done.
I have to have my whole house done.
Okay, but part of it is going underneath and running those wires.
I've got to do that. Well, as soon as I put the floor down, I got to go underneath there to run the new speaker wires for all the surround sound. So at the same time, I'll run that Ethernet for the computer for the bar. So,
because you did all that awesome stuff. And now, I mean, what better background could you have than Myrtle Beach right now? But anyways, wow, that crumble cake has, that is some intense whiskey right there.
Fixing to finish off with some intense whiskey, and that's this 126.129.6 blend straight from the barrel.
I mean, all tonight we've had people internationally joining in. Yeah, the Blantons. Hey, I'll make a deal. I'll finish off this. This.
You said anything about anybody on Facebook or anything like that chiming in?
I have too. My coworker Dwayne Davis. Hey Dwayne, what you drinking tonight? Because I set him up with four bottles. I said he's waiting for the French lick picks to come in. But in the meantime, I'm just like, well, here's some stuff. And he did like Larceny. So,
okay. All right. Getting down to the wire.
Yep.
All right.
And that is a Kentucky Derby reference. It's down to the wire.
Fixing the four. My final four on the podcast.
All right, I'll go get mine.
Look at the color on this. Straight. Oh, my gosh, what a big four. Look at the dark richness color of that straight from the
barrel. That is
129.6.
Dude, that's a huge
pour.
That is
a 2020 barrel date.
Well.
Shipped back from the UK straight to the U.S. of A. All right, I got a question for you. Are your picks 1, 2, and 3, first place, second place, third place for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby?
All right, let's get up. All right, I'll go to share screen.
The share screen.
And here is...
I want to hear
pole position. All right.
Who are you putting your money on?
I am putting my money on the 10-1 favorite of Forever Young. This is a Japanese horse.
That's your number one pick?
That is my number one pick.
Right.
My number two pick is Sierra Leone.
Okay.
And my number three pick is Fierceness.
Awesome. Well, you actually picked two of mine. My number one pick for the winning horse of the 150th round of the Kentucky Derby is going to be Sierra Leone.
What? Chukacabra?
No, Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone. 3-1 odds.
All right, Sierra Leone. My number two.
You're going to put 150 on that?
Yep, 150 on Sierra Leone. My number two pick is going to be Fierceness at 5-2 odds at right now. And my number three pick is Catching Freedom.
Catching Freedom. Well,
those are my three picks for the running of the 150th Kentucky Derby.
Did you write mine down?
Oh, I ain't got a pen.
Mine were Forever Young, Sierra Leone,
and
Fierceness. There you go.
Mine's Sierra Leone, Fierceness, and Catching Freedom.
Awesome. There we go.
Well, I'll write those down. I got the sheet of all the horses right here, and this morning's odds, and I will write your name and my name.
So are you actually putting stuff down on that? Money?
Well, I got to take Sherry up there Sunday. But I'm thinking about we might go up there Saturday.
So
a day early so that I can get some money down on these horses.
So I could do it through an app, so I'll probably do it through the app. But
I can't do it through an app in South Carolina.
I know. When I was in Florida, I went to bet the Super Bowl. And my DraftKings, which I can do here in Ohio, was like...
They wouldn't let you do it?
No, they wouldn't, because I was in Florida. So anyways...
You got to put your address, yeah.
No, it tracks you where you are.
Tracks you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it tracks your phone, because I tried to do it, too.
So I'm going to finish up with... I did a podcast on...
What if I'll be right up here near the North Carolina border tomorrow morning. What if I go across into North Carolina? Can I bet, because it's legal in North Carolina now, to bet on DraftKings? Can I bet while I'm in North Carolina?
Sure as hell you can.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go on DraftKings, but then it's a special, they've got it, you click on it, and then it takes you to the horse racing place.
Yeah.
Fill your information in again, and then drop your money.
Yeah.
The $25 that I turned into $169 during... I'm good at betting football.
Well, I figured I'm going to put $300 down on win, place, and show.
All right.
On those three horses.
I'm going to run the daily double.
Daily double.
Anyways, so I'm this Blanton's here.
Then I might just go ahead and put 100 to win on Sierra Leone.
I'm going to put 100 to win on. What did I pick?
Then. For one odd bet.
Oh, God. That's just
$100 on what's the 85-1?
Nah, not this year.
TO password is 60-1.
Nah. There's not. This year's going to be not.
I think.
The Japanese horse is what I want to win. I think.
Yeah, Magatsu. 85-1. Put $100 on him to win 85-1. You remember the other year that damn horse won, and he won by default.
God, I picked the right one.
They defaulted that first place horse, and he was like 68-1 odds. All those people that bet on him won hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars.
Yeah. So, you see this bottle of Blanton's? This bottle of Blanton's right here? So, I did a podcast on two bottles of Blanton's. One, I gave a 93. The other, I gave a 62. Because this is a single barrel. But this bottle here is a honey barrel. This is on the level of the best Blantons. This kills the gold. This particular barrel. It is bourbon.
This is a shit right here.
Dude.
Straight from the barrel.
This one. Oh my God. Caramel, butterscotch, but at the same time, bourbon. What a balance. So this particular bottle, wow, and it's got scratches on it. I don't even know how that would happen. But next time you're here, I think this is every once in a while you get lucky. And I got lucky with this bottle. This bottle sitting for another 2 years is... This Blanton's is the best Blanton's I've ever tasted, straight from the barrel. Gold. Dump date 9/8/20. Warehouse 8/20. H.
Yeah, this is a 4/12/23.
9/8/20 Warehouse H, Rick number 9, 93 proof. From barrel number 411. This is why this is
it was from barrel number 1078, and Rick number 51.
So I'm telling you, this is like some of the best bourbon I've ever drank.
Rick number 9.
Barrel 411. 9/8/20 Warehouse H. When?
They're all Warehouse H.
Not no more. They're all Warehouse H in 7 different locations. This is still when they haven't made the new Rick houses.
Okay.
This is what Blanton was serving to his guests. This is one that I think he would have picked. All right. Anyways, we probably, we gave our... we've gone a little long. So let's stop recording. Let's get this... let's finish up.
Everybody for tuning in on YouTube.
No. And Facebook. No. Don't finish up YouTube, Facebook. We're finishing up. We're the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. This great podcast, Super Nash. And remember, www.scotchybourbonboys.com for all your Scotchy Bourbon Boys merchandise. Glencairn's, which...
Glencairn's.
Yep.
Like I'm sure up here.
And our t-shirts. Make sure. And then also... find out all about us there. And then remember, we're on all the social media, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and X. And we're also on all the podcast formats, Apple, Instagram. Wait, Instagram. What the hell? Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio. There you go. And make sure, are you seeing UFOs? That would be really cool.
I got some kind of big flying bat looking thing flying in and out of my room.
Oh, that is these lights. That's awesome.
I got the lampshade up and just flying towards these bulbs.
All right. And then everybody remember, thanks for watching. We appreciate you. Make sure, like, listen, leave good feedback, comment.
Feedback, yep.
Yep. And remember, great bourbon equals good friends and great friends and good times.
Good time.
Don't drink and drive. Drink responsibly.
Responsibly.
And live your life dangerously.
Dangerously. Absolutely.
Little Steve-O is going to take us out.
Take us out.
Oh, show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. Show me the way to the next whiskey bar. Oh, don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must die. I tell you we must die. I tell you, I tell you, I tell you we must die.
Hey, Scotchy Bourbon Boys fans, this is Alan Bishop, Indiana's Alchemist of the Black Forest. So I'm tuning in here today to tell you all about the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute channel on YouTube. If you're at all interested in the art of distilling, whether it be home distilling or professional distilling, and the intense geekery that goes into that process, then check out the One Piece at a Time Distilling Institute on YouTube. I promise you're going to learn something you didn't know before about the arts.